Joining me right now to talk about that and some other action from around the weekend is an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He is the co-host of the Be More Opinionated podcast. My man is playing right through. JLC, how are you? Great to have you.
I'm doing well, buddy. How are you?
Jason, I'm great. Sorry about the technical difficulties, but you are
no
a
worries.
Boss and a legend for working through it. Listen, a ton to unpack from yesterday. I saw you in the morning. I came back here, and then a lot happened between now and then. Why don't we start with the Titans and the Patriots? What did Tennessee show you offensively and defensively in laying that beat down on the Pats?
Well, I mean, look, I've been a bit of a Marcus Mariota skeptic. He obviously has played through and with and around a lot of injuries in his brief career, and now that that hand seems to be all the way back and he's unencumbered, you see a lot more touch on his passes. He's throwing these kind of rainbow moon balls he's putting right in the breadbasket of his receivers a lot of times to the outside, so they're cutting down on the chance of turnovers. That ball's either going to be caught by his guy or it should go harmlessly out of bounds. I'm not all rah-rah Titans now. They could lose to the Colts next week, and all of a sudden the Colts will be the sort of wild card team du jour who everybody's looking at to make a move. They've quietly won three in a row. You know, I think this is sort of who Tennessee is. I think they could, if everything comes into place and they play their tails off, you know, in a fairly watered-down AFC, I think they could play with anybody. They could also get beat 21-0 by Baltimore at home and look like, you know what I mean? It's look like it was one-way traffic the other way. So I just think you look at Baltimore, Cincinnati, Miami, Tennessee, Indianapolis. One of those teams is probably the second wild card. I just don't know what that gets you in January. Maybe a beatdown.
Jason Locken for my guest. All right, so what about the Pats? Is this sort of who the Pats are? For instance, they've looked like the Patriots for most of the season, but there have been a few times where they've thrown some real clunkers. So is this just a one-off that'll happen every now and then, especially if you don't have Gronk, or is it something to be legitimately worried about?
No, I think it's more of a one-off. They're going to win that division. They're going to win that division going away. You know, we'll see if the Chiefs, you know, if the Chiefs are able to stay on this magical run. Does Andy Reid rest some guys down the stretch? You know, do they lose a game or two and all of a sudden, you know, the Patriots are you know, still have a chance to get home field? I'm not going to freak out about them just yet. They kind of stumbled into this bye a little bit. It was a deep bye in the season for them with all the injuries and guys in and out of the lineup and everything else. I think it comes at a good time for them to adjust. And we'll see if they can get, you know, Edelman and Gronk and Gordon and Sony all on the field for any extended period of time. You know, I think that's a very formidable offense. Defense, we know what they do, right? They let you move between the 20s and they try to clamp you down in the red zone. And that's generally been good enough. But if the offense slips a little bit, you know, then it may not be good enough. But they're going to be playing in January. We know that much.
Jason Lockenfora joins us. All right, so let me get your thoughts on a few coaching situations, starting with the Browns. They look good yesterday. They look really good.
Yeah.
In fact, did they look good enough, Jason, that there's any chance at all that Greg Williams could actually be a legitimate candidate to keep that job?
Oh, they're going to interview him. I mean, I have a hard time seeing the process play out without him meriting an interview. And then the question will be, who else is in the mix? Baker Mayfield makes this an incredibly intriguing proposition, but the Haslams have had very difficult times attracting top candidates, getting people to take those jobs, and their decision-making process has largely been flawed. I mean, they had everybody in their building and all their analytics people and all the people they pay to make these decisions say draft Bridgewater. He took Manziel. They had all the same processes and people saying, everything we're doing here points to Sean McDermott. They said, that's great. Thanks for your help. We're going to go hire Hugh Jackson and keep him around a year and a half longer than we should have. So, I don't know, Jim. I don't know. I'm a little bit skeptical of the idea that they're going to have, you know, Lincoln Riley and all the top hot coaching candidates dying to come and ply their, you know, trades in the NFL for the first time under the Haslams. We'll see. But Greg Williams is a way of connecting with owners. You know, he spent a lot of time coaching in Tennessee back in the day. Jimmy Haslam's a Tennessee guy. His brother's the governor of Tennessee. You know, we'll see. I think that team will continue to play all out, week in, week out for Greg Williams. And I think they'll win a few more games, and I think he'll merit consideration.
And he's already won as many games as Hugh Jackson did in 2 years as being a head coach there. What about the Ravens? You had this report. Now, they started the year 4-2, but they have lost three straight. What's that mean to John Harbaugh's future?
Yeah, I mean, he's got 1 year left on his deal. He took a one-year sort of kick-the-can-down-the-road extension a year ago. I'm told that will not be happening again. The Ravens are empowering a new young general manager, Eric DaCosta. The Ravens roster looks like it's primed for a rebuild, starting with Joe Flacco making way for Lamar Jackson. And, you know, would that coupling of that GM and that coach work long-term? You know, it depends who you talk to. But the bottom line is, unless they recommit to John Harbaugh with a top-of-the-market contract offer, and if anything, owner Steve Bisciotti's been ruminating the last 2 years when the season ended at his press conference about how close he came to making a coaching change, it's difficult to see a scenario where this team does enough that all these components are back next year. And Harbaugh will be, if he's available, the most hotly coveted coach on the market, I believe, especially if he can align himself with a quality offensive coordinator, because that's been a bit of a bugaboo for him. And you know, again, when an owner talks two straight years about how close he came to making this decision, and you're here at the pivotal bye week, and nobody's trying to extend him, and he's not going to do another Band-Aid contract, then, you know, it doesn't take Houdini to figure out where that thing's going.
No, it does not. Jason, looking forward to joining us. Jason, what about the Packers? They beat the Dolphins. They're 4-4-1, but what is your sense as to the vibe around that team, and in particular, whether or not Mike McCarthy is back next season?
It's such a similar situation to Baltimore. Their young GM took over a year ago from in-house. Baltimore's is coming in a year. McCarthy and Harbaugh both have won one Super Bowl. Both have had trouble getting to the playoffs lately. Some could say personnel had a huge part in that. But nonetheless, both did these one-year Band-Aid deals to get to this point. But now you're kind of looking at a crossroads. You know, Aaron Rodgers, I'll go back to my report in week three or week four, that there is some tension there. Those, you know, the coach and the quarterback, it's not quite the bond it used to be. There's been some concern over scheme. There's been concern over the staff changes that were made last year and who was let go and who was brought in. And they're having difficulty getting to the level that they're accustomed to playing in terms of offensive football. And again, that GM switch a year ago really is pivotal. And where is the long-term marriage going to be? And are they looking at Mike McCarthy as a guy who we want to recommit to for 5 years and say, you're our guy for the rest of Aaron Rodgers' prime? You know, or do they just have, like, again, it kind of started with Andy Reid, one of these mutual parting of the way, you got 1 year left on your deal, we know you're going to make a lot of money, so we're not going to owe you anything, you're going to get a job right away, and we're going to go in a different direction.
We're talking to Jason Lockenfora for another moment or so. I cannot let you go because it seems like you and I cannot talk this season without talking about Le'Veon Bell. With the deadline being tomorrow, JLC, is this the last time we'll be talking about him for a while? What do you expect to happen, and what's that mean for his future?
Probably not, because if he comes back, which I don't believe is going to happen, but until that 4 o'clock deadline passes tomorrow, you never know with this cat. I mean, he's up there in Pittsburgh. You know what I mean? He might be sitting there eating a tuna fish sandwich, working out, you know, shooting some hoops, working on his skyhook at LA Fitness, and decide, you know what, I'm going to play football. So I wouldn't entirely rule it out, but it's not likely. So if he doesn't come back, then we're talking about in a week or two, well, what's the future hold, and what happens if they put the transition tag on him, and who would make the offer sheets, and who wouldn't? When a player of this stature does something this unprecedented, Jim, I don't think it's going to evaporate just because he's not playing football. But I don't think he'll be back. Everything I've heard, and I've heard this for weeks, everybody's talking about the franchise tag and getting caught down in the weeds on that. They're going to transition him, and then we'll find out what the transition figure is, and then we'll find out if there's a team or teams that want to put together an offer sheet that would blow the Steelers away. Maybe it happens, but maybe it doesn't. There's a lot of time between now and late February, early March.
All right, so one last thought. Since the Giants are going tonight, as you wrote, a wise, long-suffering Giants fan floated an idea to you yesterday about the Giants trading for Jacoby Brissett in 2019 to address their quarterback situation. What do you make of that idea, and how do you see the Giants working that quarterback position next year and in the years to come?
Well, between us and now the rest of the world, you know that Giants fan as well. You probably run into him on Sunday mornings. His initials are TT. I like the idea. You know, I think for where they are, and if it turns out that you know, the kid from Oregon and Tua don't, they're in the 2020 class, and you want to look see at somebody for a year, and you're willing to trade a high two to do it, which, let's face it, their two is going to be pretty high, then I think Jacoby Brissett makes all the sense in the world. I don't want Blake Bortles. I'm not going the Flacco route. They need somebody with a little bit of youth, with a little bit of mobility, because the line still isn't what it's supposed to be. I mean, imagine, you know, Jacoby Brissett and Barkley and some RPO run action type situations. I like what I've seen of Jacoby. He's been trained by, you know, the likes of Josh McDaniels and Frank Reich. He's got starting experience. He's not going to come cheap, but it's going to be cheaper than Derek Carr. I really feel like he could be a really good bridge quarterback, you know, and his ability to boot and do some of the stuff that we saw Shermer do with Keenum in Minnesota a year ago, I think it could make sense. And remember, he got the seal of approval from none other than Bill Parcells coming out of college, and the tuna still carries a lot of weight in New York. So I think it could be interesting.
I think that would be interesting. Covering a ton of ground, Jason Lockenfora, an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. Do not forget about his podcast. He's the co-host of the Be More Opinionated podcast, JLC. I will see you next weekend, Jason. Great to have you back. Thanks so much.
Look forward to it, buddy. Have a good one. Thank
you. My man, you're the best. JLC. He is such pro. Covering a lot of ground, getting up early, taking care of business with us this morning. Thanks, JLC. See you next weekend. Appreciate you very much. 1-800-636-8686. John Harbaugh would not be available very long if he were to come free and clear. I think he will. Mike McCarthy looking like he might become free and clear. The question then to me is, everybody's looking for the next Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan. The question to me is, I know people are looking for that, but are there really more guys like that? Are they that easy to find? Are there other guys like those guys? I'm not so sure. Also, the Saints were really impressive in beating down the Bengals. The Rams did what they had to do. I do admit, when I was on the NFL on CBS yesterday, one of the things I said about the Rams was, yes, they were beaten by the Saints, but it was only one game against a very good team on the road, and they were down 35-14, and they came back, and they were still the team to beat in the NFC. Then the Saints went out, and they did what they did yesterday.